From the home of the Packers, a look at the game through the players' eyes. This is Inside Lambeau.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks, alongside one of the biggest stories of the Green Bay Packers this year. Dwan Harris, the running back, went from practice squad onto the active roster to scoring touchdowns in the postseason. Folks, I got some great news for you, and I got some bad news. The good news is Dwan is here. The bad news is this is going to be our last show of the season because the Packers suffered a big-time defeat. I got to ask you right now. You went to San Francisco. You had a game plan. Things didn't work. What happened out there?
I don't know, man. We just like, at times we need to execute, we couldn't. So, they took advantage of the opportunities they had.
Did it seem to you that your offense couldn't get into a flow? That's what it seemed like just from watching the game. Did you guys get in that big-time flow?
No, it takes a little time in this league, to just get in that groove. And then once you get in, then things are going smooth. But, it just took us a little time to find it.
Yeah, a lot of the teams have been running cover two against you guys. They kept guys back, and it seemed like that middle was open because you've had some success during the season catching short passes and getting off. It just seems to me that your offense just couldn't match their intensity.
We had the momentum at some points, but it's just that we couldn't execute at times we needed to.
What about let's go on to your kind of season? I mean, it's been a kind of a whirlwind for you. I mean, you're on the practice squad, and then you get on the active roster, and then you're the starting running back of the Green Bay Packers. It's just got to be incredible, your ride. Do you have to pinch yourself and say, like, I can't believe this?
It's mainly, first of all, it's a blessing, they gave me the opportunity to come in and make some plays, and I took advantage of those opportunities, and they trust me.
There you are running up against Minnesota. Guys are trying to get some good wax on you, but you seem, for a guy who's getting whacked out there, you pop right up like the great Jim Brown. I mean, how are you able to get up so quick?
I don't know, man. Hey, for a running back, you just got to learn how to fall. A lot of guys get injured going to the ground, and if you know how to brace yourself for contact and fall right, then you can last a little longer.
A lot of people want to know, man, he's got to take some shots. I mean, the fact that you're a little bit compact, we'll say, do you think it hurts less? Or the bruises? They can't get a clean shot on you?
It helps. It helps being short and a little compact.
You said it. I didn't say it.
Yeah, it helps, though. You kind of just ball up. And, some of the hits you just bounce off of.
It's great to see you got a little swag after you make some big-time plays. The biggest shot you took this year?
Oh, man. I have to say the Minnesota drive. It was a long drive, and I was pretty tired. But dude gave me a shot at a touchdown.
What kind of people are reaching out to you? Like the fact that you, I mean, because I mean, there had to be some weeks where you're like, this may be it for me. I mean, I'm on the practice squad. You can get cut at any time. And they were going through running backs were getting hurt. Did you ever lose the fact that it's like, I might not just make it?
Nah, that wasn't my mindset at all because, I was just home for 2 months. So just being part of the organization is, I was happy with that. So, if they decided to activate me, then, great. But if not, then
You got some moves for a compact guy. I mean, where'd you get those moves from? I mean, quick. I mean, you went at Troy, you ran for, 26, 35, and 27 TDs. I want to know why nobody drafted you.
Hey, God makes things happen for a reason, man. I probably didn't need to be drafted. So, a lot of drafted guys, the mindset's a little different than an undrafted guy.
There you are, Troy, doing the same thing you're doing on Sundays. Are you surprised? I mean, did your agent say, hey, you might be a middle, third, fourth, fifth? I mean, look at you got the moves, still got the same hair, too, as well.
Not a draft, it don't mean nothing. Once everybody gets to the NFL, you got to play. So it don't matter what school you went to or what you did in high school, what you did in college, or what kind of stats you put up. It don't matter no more. It's you in the NFL now. You got to make your mark.
All right. So that's Dwan Harris. We got more with Mr. Harris coming up after the break.
Second down for the Packers. Handoff goes to Harris.
Big hole right side of the end zone. High stepping for a touchdown. Have the lead once again.
Doesn't they tell you when you do the Lambeau leap, you're supposed to be going backwards? Now, what are you doing going in frontwards?
Man, I just want to make that jump. Like, that wall a lot higher than people say it is, man. People, people don't understand how tall, how high that wall is. Like, and I'm short, so I wasn't sure if I was gonna really make it. So I was just trying to have a successful leap. And but you see, the second time I did a leap, I turned around.
Yeah, you turned around. But so there's a lot of pressure. Oh, did you see that big hit right there? Are you trying to tell me that hit didn't hurt?
No,
it didn't hurt. I can handle it. Look at that.
Bam. So is it more pressure scoring a touchdown or making sure you do the right Lambeau leap so your boys aren't getting on you? So there you go.
Oh, you can't think of a leap. You just got to score and then be like, okay, get your mind ready for the leap.
All right. Tell us a little bit about you, man. Tell us a little about your story. You're from Brooksville?
Yep.
A place I never heard of outside of Tampa.
A lot of people haven't, but, you know.
How'd you get started in football?
Trying to put them on the map now. So, I started really young. You know, we played in the streets.
On pavement?
Yeah, at times.
Tackle?
Nah, two-hand touch on the pavement, tackle on the grass, because it's like a top of the road, and then you got like about 6 feet of grass.
Okay.
So I was smaller, so I couldn't go on the grass. So I had to make my moves on the pavement, and that's pretty much where my style came from. And then growing up watching Barry Sanders, you know, kind of became just a scat back. I knew I was going to be small, so...
So you started on the pavement. That's where you started doing your moves. And did you watch tape of Barry Sanders a lot?
I didn't watch a lot of tape, you know, but I watched some stuff that, you know, when I'm seeing a little bit of him, and that's who I idolized.
How old were you when you were playing on the pavement?
Oh, man, I don't remember.
10, 11?
Probably around there.
Did you think that you ever wanted to play in the league and everybody said, hey, man, you are too short and too small?
I actually knew what I wanted to do since second grade. I knew I wanted to play football, and I told people I'm going to do it. And, you know, the only difference between somebody that's not going to make it and somebody that'll make it, you just got to believe you can do it. And over all the years of me telling myself I'm going to make it, you know, I did everything I had to do to succeed at it. So, you know, some people laughed about me, you know, because a lot of people from my neighborhood, you know, we had guys in the Olympics, we had, you know, professional athletes and other sports, and They didn't think I can do it because a lot of guys, they had a whole bunch of talent, just blew it. Even though it was on the big stage, a lot of them blew it. So they kind of thought I was going to end up in the same boat.
People laughed at you. They ain't laughing no more. You get to high school and you start tearing it up. I mean, a lot of people saying, come on, man, why are you playing running back? You're too small for this game. Well, what was high school like for you?
It was great.
Did you have to convince the quarterback, coach, I want to play running back?
No. I was in middle school. I remember telling my coach I'm going to be a running back. I was like in seventh grade. No, I was in sixth grade going to the seventh.
Right.
And I told him I'm going to be his running back. And he was just like, okay. He just remembered I was small, but sure enough, I was his running back. And then after that, it just
How went much did it help you to have a chip on your shoulder, having people laughing at you? Oh, he's playing running back. He's too small. I mean, how much did that chip help you?
Oh, it helped a lot. But, you know, a lot of people didn't think I was small because I was always one of the strongest. So they didn't consider me as small. So, people just doubt it. You always got doubters, and that's what really make you stronger, people doubt you.
All right. We got some more of this guy. Duane Harris coming up for one more segment. He says he worked at a car dealership. I don't know how many cars he sold, but we're going to get to the bottom of that story coming up after the break. Welcome back to Inside Lambeau. Everybody's still got the Packer blues, but hey, we got Duane Harris in the house, one of the biggest stories of the Green Bay Packers. Now, tell me your story, because Jacksonville had you, right?
Yeah.
And what did they say? You wasn't good enough?
They just said, you know, we decided to release you, and you're a good player. I'm pretty sure someone will pick you up soon, and, you know, the usual, but...
How did that go down? Did they call you into the office?
They called me at 6:40 in the morning. I remember the exact time. And I was getting up to go to treatment. So they called me at 6:40, told me how far am I away, and do you have your playbook? Sound like Hard Knocks. Sound just like Hard Knocks.
Is a bus ticket?
Nah, I'm from the area, so I still have my place there. So I stayed in my place and got back. Soon as I got the phone with him, I called my mother, told my mother what was going down, and then I called my agent and let him know. So, and we just went on from there. And then, like, a few days later,
and then you had to get a job, right?
No, I ended up in Pittsburgh a few days later.
What?
Like a couple days, like 2 or 3 days later, I ended up in Pittsburgh.
Right.
For like last preseason game. And then after that, you know, I was the last, I got cut the last wave though. So I was one of the last cuts. So I thought I was going to make that one from the performance I had in the game. But, you know, obviously not. Then I had to get a job.
Now, we had to get the job. Now, let's talk about this Chrysler dealer, Dodge Ram place that you worked at. Now, to me, if you're selling cars, you're supposed to actually sell some cars.
I was only there for
now,
a week.
How long were you there?
A week.
You were there a week?
A week.
Okay. How many cars did you sell in a week?
None. I came close on 3 deals.
Oh, you came close on what?
It wasn't me. Like, sometimes they had, some people had some issues where, you know.
Bad credit.
We couldn't deal with it.
Right.
And others was like, you know, we're going to wait. So, and then I left. I had to get a call. So, I probably could have sold 2 out of the 3.
You could have sold 2, but yeah. You didn't really sell
they
any.
Wasn't gonna
Did you
buy
actually it. Show anybody any cars?
Yeah. I took the people out.
What'd you show them?
Whatever they wanted to see. Like, right. they asked me about it. I didn't really know much because I was new to the game.
So I'm going to work with a car dealership, with a car dealer who don't know anything about the car.
First, you got to tell them that you're new.
Right.
Like, I'm new.
That's the first thing.
Like, I just got off the football field, so I don't know much about this.
Right.
So, like, how much research did you do?
And so you asking them, about the car.
Yeah, I asked them, how much research have you done with the car and everything else, and they tell me. I'm like, okay, well, you may know more than me. Just let you know. So, you know, go on from there, you know, just tell them, like, really easy. And just talk about stuff that kind of, like, they can relate to. Have a good conversation.
Put that winning then, smile you got on, right?
Yeah, one of them was a young girl, so I thought I was...
You got her digits?
Nah, she wanted to give me a number, but I didn't do it. She had something else going on, man. I just had a bad feeling about it.
Now, I read some reports that you may go back to this dealership. Now, first of all, I'm putting you on 60-day probation. If you're coming back to this dealership since you ain't sold no cars and you know anything about the cars.
Hey, well, they getting some love from, you know.
Because now you're a star, right? Now you've been scoring touchdowns. I mean, have you heard from the guys from the dealership?
Yeah, I stay in touch with them. Yeah,
what do they say to you? Please don't come back and try to sell any more cars?
No, they say, hey, they want me back. You know, I told them to come back and visit and everything else. I just got to see how my situation go with the schedule for this offseason, see if I got time to head back and, you know, sell a little bit of cars, so. But I told him I look forward to, like, coming back.
You know? Just to say hi and shake some hands. Because you're an NFL-proven running back.
Nah, I'm going to definitely go back and say, hey.
But you ain't trying to sell no cars when you go back.
But it's still good money, though. You know, if you sell enough cars in a week.
I don't believe you, Duan.
That's a good week. That's a good week's work, yeah.
Hey, man.
You just got to have the clientele, though. That's it.
Clientele? You got... Let's just move on.
Just hey, tweet about
congratulations
it.
Congratulations for having an incredible season, one of the brightest stories of the Green Bay Packers. I know we're going to see you back here next year. I'm proud of you, man. I know your family's proud of you, and your story is incredible. And it shows a lot of people out there that want to play this game. Don't ever, ever, ever give up. Duan Harris, thanks a lot. Coming up, we'll have Wayne Larrabee coming up on this show. And it's going to be hot. Don't miss it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks, alongside Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers. Were you as bummed out as all the Packer fans when you made your last call and you knew the season was over for the
Packers? Yeah, you know, it's always jarring, Rod. I mean, you're always prepared. It's the playoffs. It's one and done. You know, I mean, you know it could end. No, you know, one play, one down, one bad quarter. But when it happens, yeah, it's jarring.
Did you think that they were going to go down the way they went down in that game?
I thought it would be a much different game than that. I really did. I thought the Packers would be very competitive in that game in the second half. They were very competitive in the game. It was a tie ball game midway through the third quarter. But that fourth quarter, that 56-yard run by Kaepernick, the touchdown, that just seemed to break everybody's spirit.
Why couldn't the Packers defense stop this kid?
You know, Rod, it's interesting. I mean, people say, well, they weren't prepared. I think they were prepared. But I don't know if you could be prepared for a quarterback that runs a 4.440. This right. is the fastest quarterback I've ever seen. And he threatens you with both his arm and his legs, which is different from what they faced the week before with Joe Webb.
181 yards, which is the most ever by a quarterback in the NFL.
You know what's interesting about that, Rod, is that according to ESPN Stats, Inc., 178 of those 181 rushing yards came before first contact.
Right. Wow. So that means they weren't getting the glove on this guy.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt. Now, how big, you know, we all love Jeremy Ross. Here's a guy who was on the practice squad, gets called up. How tough was it for him I thought it was one of the big momentum changes in the game when he dropped that punt.
Yeah, it really was. 14-7 ball game, second quarter. It's tough. You give San Francisco the football on the 9-yard line. They're already kind of dominating in terms of time of possession.
Take a look at this
but
play.
This is really tough right here. The young kid looks up just for a moment. The ball goes right through his hands, and they're all over it.
It's almost like he didn't have his hands positioned right to catch the punt.
Yeah, I think he was looking upfield for a minute. I'm not even sure. It just went right through the breadbasket. I'm not even sure he was quite aware of where he was, but you're supposed to make a play on it at the 10-yard line and at least save that those hidden yards.
You got to feel sorry for number 10 laying on the ground right there. Yeah, did the Packers, when you go look at this game, a lot of people want to point fingers when you lose a game. They want to blame this person. They want to blame that. Does Dom Capers get some blame for this?
Oh, you know what? That's really not for me to say. I think Dom is a tremendous defensive coordinator. And the thing that I worried about as we went into the playoffs was the ability to stop the run. And you know, maybe it was just the Adrian Peterson syndrome or whatever. I thought the Packers' run defense was improved this year. But could they stop the run against a power running team deep in the playoffs? And that's what they faced with San Francisco. Because remember, Frank Gore, the power back, still got over 100 yards. Kaepernick got the headlines. Gore still got his 100-plus yards.
That's great. Point. Everybody wants to point fingers. I like Dom Capers. I think he does a great job. I like what Charles Woodson said. Maybe we need to get bigger and faster and stronger.
You know, it's very interesting. Bob McGinn in the Journal Sentinel brought this up earlier in the season, actually the last month of the season. He said, you know, so often teams now are built to stop the pass. They're built linear in that regard. Their athletes are longer. They're a little leaner. They're not the force defensively, power defenses to face power offenses. Consequently, what we're seeing in this age of poor tackling throughout the NFL, tackling is a lost art for many reasons, but it is a lost art across the league. You're seeing power runners make a living off broken tackles. And I think a lot of teams, it's because they're schemed and they're built to stop the pass, not the power running game.
Wayne Larrabee bringing it strong. Guess what, folks? Got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is this is our last show, as I told you earlier. The good news, Wayne's coming back for one more segment. And we'll see you right back here.
You know, the Packers are going to do what's best for the Packers. And that's not going to change. Whether you're number 4, number 80, or number 85, and as the other half of the businessman that's sitting down at that table, I have to do what's best for myself and my family.
That was well said. That is, of course, Greg Jennings. That doesn't seem like a guy who thinks he's coming back next year. Let's start off with 85. What do you think his chances are coming back?
Doesn't sound like it, does it?
No, not at all.
His comments all season have been pretty consistent, Rod. He's a realistic young man, you know, one of my favorite Green Bay Packers of all time. He's made so many incredibly big catches. Right. Brett Favre's record-setting touchdown catch. You know, the couple of catches for the touchdowns in the Super Bowl and some big plays that you look at throughout the season. But he's a guy who...
I love his stop-and-go move.
It's one you'll always remember. But the one thing about him is he's a receiver who is coming up, what, on 30 years old. He'll be 30 next year. And he's had some injuries the last couple of years. Missed a significant portion of this past season. Missed the last month or so of the previous season due to injuries. You're wondering what you have to ask yourself if you're the Packers. Have we seen the best of Greg Jennings, the best he can do? And if that's the case, then you can't pay him more than you're paying him now.
Oh, well said, well said. And let's talk about the hot topic, Donald Driver.
Yeah.
He was able to get activated for that last game, played on the punt team, never played anything on offense. Obviously, Donald Driver's not coming back, correct?
Well, I think he's got a decision to make whether he wants to continue his playing career and can he catch on with someone else and find a role with another team, or is he going to retire as a Green Bay Packer? That'll be an interesting decision that he'll have to make, I think. You know, I don't know what the free agent market is going to bring for Jennings. I don't know what it's going to bring for Driver, if anything, for him. But I do know Jennings has some value on the free market. I'm not sure how much he'll get now.
Here's what I think. Greg Jennings is going to get paid, and Donald Driver is not going to get paid. I mean, I think it'd be hard for him to even try to find a football team.
Well, it'd be interesting. I mean, there are teams that need receivers out there.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on to Charles Woodson. That's another big guy. He's going to be $10 million on their cap next year. Do you bring this guy back? Because he's one of those guys. He's a playmaker. The guys on the field talk about just having that guy in a huddle. He's smart. He's like a coach out there. Do you think Charles Woodson's going to come back?
Yeah, boy, if you're going to spend money on somebody, you know, at this stage in Charles's career, you would spend it on Charles Woodson. Hall of Fame player. As you mentioned, Rod, all the intangibles he brings. Now, is he physically as good as he was 3 or 5 years ago? No. But from an intangible standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, boy, he's pretty important in that locker room. Tough decision coming there.
JerMichael Finley coming on strong. I like the way this guy played that second half of the season.
I do too.
He's been a hot button. I think you got to bring this guy back because he can still make the plays. He's still got a lot to learn, but I still feel the best years are ahead of him.
Well, and you know, if you lose Jennings, you know, you want that other weapon in your receiving corps. He can be that guy. I think there's no question about that. But it's going to be expensive, about $8 million on the cap, if I'm not mistaken, for next year.
Real quickly, what about A.J. Hawk? Is he coming back?
Well, I think that what they might have to do there is maybe restructure, do what they did after the Super Bowl and, you know, that type of thing. And I think A.J. could be back.
That is Wayne Larrabee. I'm Rod Burks. Thanks for watching Inside Lambeau this season. Guess what, folks? We're coming back next year. Way to go, Wayne.